So we're going to continue the book of Jude. We're going to read from chapter 5 to 7. We're going to continue our train of thought in the remembrance of unbelief. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, have given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So last week, we have covered on Israel's unbelief. And in that, we opened our Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we looked at verses 1 through 12, that it shows that all have experienced this blessing that God has spilled upon Israel. But we know that not all of them were saved, not all of them believed. Five times we read all, meaning that all of them shared the same exact blessings. But, it says in verse 5, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And so why didn't they enter into the promised land? Because of their unbelief. And Jude here wants to remind us of the apostates. What is apostate? Just to remind us, what does that word mean? It's a falling away. Apostates, they are the ones who are the pretenders of the church. They could be the leaders, they could be the people sitting in the pews and leading people astray. They're the ones who are teaching who do not have the spirit of truth. Scripture speaks a lot about it. Hebrews chapter 6, for instance, verses 4 through 6 speak about it. And there's a lot of sections, a lot of books that talk about it. But Jude wants to specifically deal with this problem. This whole book is dealt with this one chapter, but it's just so overwhelming that this whole book is entirely devoted to that one aspect. And so we see that Israel's main problem also that we covered last week was that they did not, everything that they heard, they did not mix it with faith. They did not mix it with faith. Verses Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. And so because of their unbelief, the Lord destroyed those who did not believe. And so today we're going to look at the angels. The second example that Jude brings up to us. And so this is all to tie in what Jude is speaking to us in verse 4 about these certain men who have crept in. He's further explaining this train of thought, who these men are, and what their end is going to be like, and what are they represented of. And so he brought up Israel, that they do not believe. It doesn't matter what you do, it doesn't matter what you preach to them. Just like Israel was with God, they saw the glorious things that God has done, and they still did not believe. And these are the apostates. If the heart is not going to be changed, if the Spirit of God is not within an individual, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing we can do. It's all the glory and the grace of God. And so we read that the angels, Greek word angelos, which means a messenger, one who is sent, it says that the angels who did not keep their proper domain. So what do we know about angels? How much do we know about angels? We know that there's two kinds of angels. There's the angels that are in heaven doing the will of God. One of them being Gabriel that we know that came to Mary and so forth. And there's other angels called demons. There's many thoughts about demons. Some people believe that demons are the souls of people who die, and they just don't ever make it into the next world, so they kind of tangle around here on the earth. And so they are demons. But the scripture speaks that demons are the ones who have rebelled with Satan. They have been created only once. They don't come about even more and more and more, so they're not the souls of men who die and become demons. We read in Job 38, verse 7, that all the angels at one point shouted for joy. Job 38, verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So we know that at one point they all glorified God. And then Colossians 1:16, it says that they were created for Christ. All things were created through him and for him. So what happened? What happened now? At one point they were glorifying God, and now we have demons. So something must have happened in between. The downfall of angels Jude is speaking about here. The angels who did not keep their proper domain. Verse 6. What is this word domain? That's a very interesting word. Other translations, I believe King James has it estate. In Greek it means archa. It's very difficult for me to pronounce. I'm not a seminary student, but it means beginning or origin. In the beginning. What Jude is trying to tell us, that they did not keep their beginning, which was to glorify God, was to do his will. So they did not keep their beginning. They didn't keep their origin. So they did not honor that position. The Lord was not worthy to be praised by them. Instead, who was worthy of praise? Satan, the creation, the created, instead of the creator. And say they did not keep their beginning, but they left their own abode. Also, we read that, but they left their own abode. Abode is also a very interesting word. Other translations, again, King James, I believe, has it habitation. That's a closer meaning for me, at least. I understood the meaning better of the habitation than abode. But it means simply a dwelling place or house. So they left their own habitation. They left their own house. They left where they were, which was in heaven. But then it's pretty interesting that I was reading this, I was studying, I came across the word left, but they left their own abode. I've always believed that Satan was kicked out. The demons were kicked out of heaven. But here it says that they left. So which one is it? It's actually, the word left means forsaken or desert. They have forsaken their dwelling place. They did not honor that position, and so they ultimately left that position, and Satan and God kicked them out. And so we read that God acts. That God acts on behalf of his holiness. He has reserved an everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. So what does God do to the angels who fail to glorify him? He created a hell for them. In Matthew 25, verse 41, it says that hell was created not for mankind, not for us, but for Satan and his demons. And it's very interesting how Jude ties in verse 7, representing the Gentiles, the people who do not know generally God, whose law was not trusted to. We're not the chosen people of God, if you will. And he says, verse 7, as. It's a very interesting word that he says, as. So he's tying in the previous verse, verse 6. And then he also says, a similar manner to these, also verse 7. So he's tying in the previous verse with this. So these two verses have something in common here. We know that they have something to do with each other. And so he's saying, they have, in a similar manner, they also left their own habitation. They also have left their own abode. God has created them that they may serve him and glorify him. Adam and Eve, when they were created purely. They were created in purity and in righteousness and holiness. And then when sin came, all of a sudden they were ashamed. This wonderful act that we know of when two get married, when they become one flesh, it was purity. But now when man has been corrupted, when sin has come into the world, it's a shame now. Something that the Lord has created to be so pure is now shameful. And so they failed to see that. They failed to listen to God, to obey his works as well. Many people believe that Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't have anybody there to preach. They didn't have the Bible. They didn't have, you know, anything else. But yet we fail to realize that Lot was there. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we read that righteous Lot, he was constantly in anguish. He was constantly being, he just wasn't in his you know, right shoes with him. You know, he was always struggling. And so he seen their wickedness. He seen this corruption. And so I'm assuming that we could assume that he preached to them. So it would be wrong to say that they have not known who God was. And so they, through sexual immorality, and they have gone after strange flesh. It's not only talking about that they had sexual relations with other people, but they even had sexual relations with their own kind that we know now as homosexuality. So how bad is sex before marriage or homosexuality? So bad that Jude here says that they're an example of those suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. We sometimes forget about that. We sometimes, in the world that we live in the culture that we live in, we think it's normal. We think it's all right. Jude here does not think so. And Jude, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes that eternal suffering is at hand for those who practice such things. And so that's what Jude is tying in, all these verses for us. Many people believe that the angels here, they have left their proper domain, and they did not keep their proper domain. They have left their own abode. That's referring to Genesis chapter 6 incident. If you remember, the angels or the sons of God, it mentions that they have married the daughters of men. They believe that the angels came down from heaven and they produced mankind, Nephilim. They were the great people. Many very brilliant men actually think that, believe that, but I cannot see that to be true in this instance. It's very clear that they have left their own domain, which was heaven. And so they cannot leave their own domain again, in a sense, and go after women. So I do not see that argument here. Then it just doesn't tie in together. But what is Jude trying to tell us right now? What can we get out of this? What he's trying to tell us here is that the apostates, again, this is all about apostasy. This is all about those who do not know the truth. These are about the people who are the teachers, or perhaps those who are even sitting in the pew, who do not have the Spirit of God. And what he's saying to them is these three examples are of the people who are marked out, who are prophesied about. So you better believe it, that if you continue in your way, if you continue to walk as you do, without any worrisome about your state, the scriptures is clear that you will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. And so Israel not only was saved, not all are saved, they were a religious people. They were a religious people, and quite frankly, it's those who are the religious people in the church are the most deadly. They are the most deadly as those who practice religion. We see that very clear in the Pharisees. After all, the religious people of Christ's day were the one who killed Christ. And so even the angels were not safe from unbelief, who were right in the center of the glory of God, who seen that glory. And so let us not fall. Let us not live lives as the Gentiles over here at Sodom and Gomorrah, who went after strange flesh, sexual immorality, but continue to be pure, to rely upon Christ for him to give us a new heart. That is what they missed. That is what they needed. That's what they didn't have. You could be as wise as Solomon, as strong as Samson, and have like King David. But if you do not have God's heart, if you do not have the Spirit of God within you, it's impossible for you to walk in a way worthy of his calling. It's impossible for you to walk his ways. And so this is what Jude is trying to tell us here, that you could only walk a life worthy of his calling to do his will if we know him. And how do we know him? Through Christ. It's all tying up here with Christ. So we cannot do anything if we do not know him. And on top of that, eternal vengeance is going to await us. May God's word be blessed. Amen.